was talking to me on Sunday, and
Amy told Karen that we'd be praying for her. She said that to her because she knows that the caregiver needs prayer as well as the patient. Because as the sick one struggles and there's no one else around, the sick one's impatience is expressed to the caregiver. We're dealing with the subject, and we'll conclude it tonight on the subject of being patient. I also was reading an article this week, and it was on a different subject, but the conclusion of it was, be prepared, hang on to your temper, try not to say anything for which you might be sorry later. And I thought of these two as practical situations regarding the subject of patience. A caregiver needs patience because the sick one can be impatient. And whatever kind of interpersonal relationship, interaction with another individual that you may have, you may know some things that you're going to be facing. And so the advice to be prepared. Don't go into something blind. Think about it. Think ahead. And as this writer says, hang on to your temper. Try not to say anything you'll regret later. Good advice. Now I'm going to give two things tonight. Like I said, this will conclude the matter of our subject of patience. These are both practical things. The first one, take a deep breath. Okay? When you face a situation of whatever sort it is, that you would be prone to be impatient with, take a deep breath. Remember how in one of the first messages in this series, I said how we pray for patience, and when we are facing something, that it'll only be a second or two, three at the most, in which we'll realize what's beginning to take place, and the Spirit of God in that 1 to 3 seconds is giving us an opportunity to yield to Him. What do we expect when, you know, we say we need to yield to God? Do we think we're going to get a text on our cell phone? Do we think it's going to come in a letter in the mail? Are we going to somehow drive down the street and see a banner? No, it's going to come from the inward parts. And here you are facing a situation, whether it's with another person, whether it's with a problem, a practical, mechanical, and you would be prone to blow up about it. You're going to have 1 to 3 seconds in which the Spirit of God is going to nudge you and going to let you know. And it's then that we must take the answer to prayer. Because that's when we pray, God, help me be patient. That's when it comes. That's when He gave the help. Do we feel that we're going to somehow just be overpowered with a sense and an awareness of patience? How spiritual do we think we are? No, it's going to come in very practical ways.
Amen.
And this idea of take a deep breath, I know that sounds too psychological. That sounds too secular. Take a deep breath. Well, you know, when you're facing something and you've got 1 to 3 seconds, if you were to take a deep breath and pray, Lord, help me, do you think you might end up not being impatient? You see, what that's going to do is break the impatience. You have a way of responding to things. We all have what they, you know, I learned this from watching cops programs on TV. We all have an MO, modus operandi, okay? And so we all have a way that we normally work. We normally approach things. And so whatever the situation, we have a way that we normally respond to it. And the Spirit of God will nudge us. The Spirit of God will let us know. And the deep breath is just it breaks that normal way that we would respond. Now listen, when we pray, God, give us patience, and that's a good prayer. When we keep praying that, and if you've got a real problem with patience, you'll be praying for that regularly. And so you're praying for that regularly, And then when a situation comes along, that's when taking a second. I know at home I face problems. It didn't involve impatience, but just problems. And I can get frustrated. And Pat will say to me, Roger, just take a deep breath. She's smart enough to know that the way I'm going at this, it is only going to escalate to more problem. So what she's trying to do is get me to break that M.O. She knows, because we've been married 56 years, how I respond to things. And therefore, when she sees me going in a certain direction and she says to me, Roger, just take a deep breath. Now, there's been times where I've said, I don't need deep breathing exercises. Okay? But you see, even that much broke the way things are going. And not instantaneously, but immediately, I realized that what she said was so. I realized that what I said was dumb. And now that whole thing's broke.
Amen.
Broken. That whole direction has been halted. And then I can go ahead and approach it the way that's going to help. Now, if you're ever at my house, you're never going to see that side of me.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I got this spiritual side of me. I got this Pastor Emeritus side. But I'm telling you these things because I don't see the real you either. And I can just guess at what it might be. But then I might guess wrong. And I'd be awfully, in my mind, accuse you of something that you're not guilty of. So I don't want you accusing me of something I'm not guilty of. I'll just tell you what I'm guilty of. Okay? So you know how things are. But take a deep breath. And gives us time to respond to the Holy Spirit's conviction. And the second thing is, be open to learning. Almost every person and situation in life has something to teach us. I think it was Charles Haddon Spurgeon who made a statement to the effect, he would have people at the door. When he was done preaching, he'd go stand at the door and shake hands, greet the people as they were leaving. And he was standing there, and there was this one lady, whenever she came, she was going to have some kind of complaint. And he was always so gracious to her. And somebody asked him one time, how can you be so gracious to that lady? She is so constantly critical. And he made the statement to this effect, there's always something that I can learn. And so whether her criticism was true or not, he felt that he needed to consider it. And I found that experience of his indeed to be beneficial. It's not that you like to hear criticism. As a matter of fact, a normal person dislikes it. But we should not discount it without consideration. And that doesn't mean that you'll automatically end up doing or conforming to everything that the critic said, but to consider it. By being impatient, we could miss something that's worth learning. And when we pray for patience, could it be that God brought someone or some situation along to answer our prayer for patience because of what he knew we would learn through that person or situation?
No.
You see, God doesn't. We know God doesn't always answer the way we expect. But if our attitude is to learn, if our attitude is to consider this thing, then indeed, if God is in it, we'll get his message. And if he's not in it, well, it at least has kept us from being a knothead about the person.
Amen.
Okay, somebody comes along and, they're critic, and they're just nothing, you know, good. They're just all the time complaining about things, and there's, you know, I don't know why in the world they even bother coming to church if they're going to act like that all the time. Huh. So people like that just aggravate me. Now, there we have one person acting one dumb way. And over there, we had another person acting another dumb way. Any good parent knows that two wrongs don't make a right. I mean, every kid has had to have heard that at some point in their life. Or said it. Yes, learning. Are you doing something to deal with impatience? Are you exerting some kind of effort to change? Are you open to learning? And, this idea of, well, sure, I know I can learn. I'm not talking about that. That can be no more than a cop-out to avoid admitting that I need to learn, making a very broad general statement that is very factual. But unless the experience is to learn, it's another matter. Imagine this, in reading on this subject, when I read this, well, let me just give it. Imagine that someone else might know more than you. Okay. Or somebody else might know better than you. Now, here again, we can make the factual response to that, well, of course, I know that. But a factual response to it is not necessarily the inward experience response. You can say the right thing, but if you don't feel the right thing, then you're missing the whole thing. A person with a know-it-all attitude frequently struggles with patience because other people tend to annoy them. Now, I've got to repeat that. Think along. A person with a know-it-all attitude frequently struggles with patience because other people tend to annoy them. To some people, it would be humbling to admit that somebody else would know more than they'd know or would know a better way than they know. This can show up with, do you always need to have the last word? Does your way have to be the way that it always goes, no matter how much discussion and other ideas may have come along? We need to be open to learn from others. Give your input, but don't insist that it must be the way. Let others be right. Have you ever had a great idea and somebody came along and in talking with them, they had the same idea and stated it? Recently, I had a victory because I had that kind of thing. I had an idea, and somebody else here, in talking with them, they had the same idea. And you know what my victory was? When they told me about it, I said, hey, that's a good idea.
Amen.
Why don't we do that? Because the usual reaction is, well, you know, I was thinking that same thing. In other words, I want you to know that I'm smart too.
Yeah.
You know? And man, that made me feel so good.
Yeah.
When I simply said, that's a good idea, let's do that. I don't even remember who it was anymore or what it was. And I'm glad I don't, because that's not the important thing. But let others be right. Let others get credit for things. Learn to be patient. Have you ever been corrected or shown how much more the other person knows? And have you ever said, oh, thank you so much for showing me that I was wrong and you're right? No, that's not the, you see, and therefore, not only have you not said that in a response, they don't either like it. Now, look, I'm not talking about sincere helpfulness and mutual learning. There's definitely situations in which you're interacting with a person and for you to give an idea regarding something is in order, okay? And it doesn't always have to be in a commanding manner. I know this past week at the library, there were two different workers that I said to, we were discussing things having to do with this renovation. And I gave some ideas. And then I said, oh, by the way, I'm only giving out suggestions. If you don't like them, you don't have to use them. And they looked at me. And I said, my wife said to me one time, why don't you just suggest it? And I told her, well, that's what I'm doing. I'm suggesting it. And Pat said, it sounds more like a command. You know, when she first told me that, it really floored me. Because I really was just suggesting. But apparently the way I can come across is otherwise. And that's not the intention. But there are times when you're interacting with somebody else and you'll give an idea because it's appropriate. But you see, earlier what I talked about isn't what's appropriate and helpful because the people are on the same level. This is where one person's going to set the other person straight. This is where one person's going to give the only way that this can be done. And that just closes things down. And that's when ego creeps. creeps in, and the habit of having to be right controls. Turn, if you will, please, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, which I believe would apply to our subject. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Be patient, not selfish. Lowliness of mind, humbleness. To some people, it would be humbling to admit that someone else might know better. But let each esteem the other better than themselves. You see, when we look at the subject of impatience, we're dealing with pride. Pride, impatience has a solid foundation in pride. And therefore, when we pray, God help me to be patient, we need to realize He's going to do it in ways that we might not normally think about. I hope that these messages have been somewhat of a help. Some of the earlier ones were more of a Bible study format, exposition of scriptures. These last two or three had a very practical approach in what I believe is the way that we apply the first ones that are exegetic. Yes.
I actually got a message from somebody who listened to the last two. He was so thankful having listened.
Amen.
To this. Yeah,
amen. Amen. I appreciate hearing.
Yeah.
That. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Okay, we're going to stay here and close in prayer, and I'm going to ask Neil if you would pray, and then.